Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's all going 100 miles an hour here right now.
No speeding tickets.
No
allowed.
Speeding tickets, obviously. Be safe. But it couldn't feel better already. It's Janae
Golic
Jr.
1 hour down.
1 hour down here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agumake here. For anyone checking us out for the first time, welcome. We appreciate you. Janae Agumake, current WNBA player. She is not retired, ladies and gentlemen. She is she's like Derek Zoolander, a slashy radio host slash WNBA player slash NBA analyst for us and everything else in here. Mike Golic Jr. with you guys, coming over from mornings here on ESPN Radio, former Notre Dame football player with you guys.
And correct that, please.
Former Notre Dame. Janae would like me to start using star because the benefit of what happens after you leave, the longer and further away you get from college, easier it is to be a star.
We rewrite history here in real time.
Exactly. All in real time, all happening. And in real time is the perfect way to describe what's going on right now. So we've got an NBA quadruple header that we're in the midst of on ESPN. We saw earlier today Denver got the overtime win over Utah in that one, despite Donovan Mitchell's 55-piece that game. Toronto is giving Brooklyn buckets right now. In the Eastern Conference, round one there. That game currently on ESPN. We got Philly and Boston at 6:30. Dallas and the Clippers at 9 o'clock Eastern on there. We've got simultaneously the SEC putting out its first week schedule for conference play at the same time that UNC Chapel Hill is announcing that they are going to all online classes starting on Wednesday of this week.
You know what we call that? Mixed messages.
A lot of mixed messages. We're in a bad relationship with college football right
now. I thought
now.
You were talking about us. I was concerned for a moment.
I was worried. We're good right here, and we're about to get even better. So joining us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with the new Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline is our very own ESPN NFL analyst, Mina Kimes. You can also catch her on her podcast, The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny. Mina, how you doing?
Good, but I prefer to be introduced as NFL analyst slash elite crossword puzzler slash former intramural ping pong star.
I love it.
All right, a lot to write down there, a lot to get to, but we will do it for Mina Kimes, the show's...
I mean, she's not lying on the crossword. She posted to Instagram, at Mina_Kimes. 8:32 timing, 8:17. I think mine was like 8 hours. So...
Yeah. No, if you want to get humbled real quick, try and go up against Mina Kimes' times in the New York Times crossword puzzles there. We'll get all of that as the new NFL Live crew that Mina is a part of is debuting starting next Monday on August 24th. We're super excited for that, Mina, mostly because it feels like the NFL is going to make a real go at this, unlike its college football counterpart. But that doesn't come without a cost. A lot of big news we want to get to with you today. Starting, I guess, the latest that we saw here from the Dallas Cowboys camp, it looks like Gerald McCoy, their star defensive tackle, going to have season-ending surgery. How big a blow is this already for Big D?
It's a big deal because Dallas is a team with Super Bowl aspirations, realistic Super Bowl aspirations. It's a team that had the second most efficient offense in football last year, then went out and added CeeDee Lamb. All they need, guys, is for this defense to be average, right? Just good enough, because that offense is going to be so good. And there are a lot of questions about the pass rush behind DeMarcus Lawrence. They went out and signed Everson Griffin. Some of the depth in that secondary also is a bit lacking. So to lose a veteran like Gerald McCoy, even though he might not be the caliber of player he was a couple of years ago, is still a huge loss in a fairly thin position group.
Now, that injury is a big deal, but also a big deal. The Washington football team, yes, the Washington football team, made history by hiring its first black team president in the NFL, Jason Wright, who will join us actually later in the show. What does this mean for the team and also the NFL as a whole?
That's awesome that he's joining. You got to ask him what mascot he favors. It's a huge deal for a number of reasons. The fact that this is the team's first black president is more shocking that it's taken this long rather than, praiseworthy, but it's good that it's happening. He's also, I believe, the youngest and yet older than me, which I like to keep track of, so that's good as well. But more importantly for the team in the immediate future, this is an organization that obviously needs to undergo a massive culture change given some of the revelations that came out not so long ago about, the toxic culture of sexual harassment in the workplace, something that they've been trying to wipe the slate clean, bringing in head coach Ron Rivera, who's widely respected and beloved around the league. And to me, this is just another step in putting a new face on this franchise.
Now, Mina, I know we had a long list of accolades for you, but my favorite, prior to ESPN, you were a business reporter, Yale grad. How do you think diversity on the business side can translate to success on the football side?
I mean, that's a great question. There have been many, many studies. I used to work at Fortune magazine, covered the Fortune 500, and there were many, many studies showing that diversity actually translates to tangible business results when you look at the boards of companies. I think it's pretty evident that this league in particular, the NFL, has fallen short, not just on the business side, but also in coaching and at multiple levels. And I think anytime you can bring in a greater diversity of talent and minds and brain power, it helps these teams, and it's something they can leverage to success both on and off the field.
Mina Kimes with us here again, her multitude of titles, crossword champion, ESPN NFL analyst, and podcast host, all ringing true on this one. Mina, going into this season, continuity is one of the biggest, I think, storylines going into everything because of the pandemic. And a team with a ton of it in the Baltimore Ravens might be looking to add working out wide receiver Dez Bryant going into the second year as a full-time starter at the beginning of the season for Lamar Jackson. How big could this addition potentially be?
You know, I'd like to say, I'd love this for Dez. I don't want to be like a Carmelo hater and be a Dez hater and then be proven wrong, right? Like that's happening right now in the NBA. But the last time we saw him, he wasn't tremendously productive on the field in Dallas. That said, this is an area of great need for Baltimore. I mean, they are an incredibly deep team. And as you mentioned, they have a ton of continuity on both sides of the football, also on the coaching staffs, which I think is quietly maybe their biggest advantage going into the season. They didn't lose either their offensive or defensive coordinator, but they didn't add much in the way of skill players. They drafted running back, right, in J.K. Dobbins. And Lamar Jackson's wide receiver group was arguably the weakness of the team last year. He hits the tight ends, I think, more than other teams. Mark Andrews is obviously a superstar. Hollywood Brown was a little bit banged up. But, you know, it's an area where Dez can still contribute, I think, in the red zone if he's still got something in the tank.
Now, Mina, you mentioned the NBA, so you know, of course, I'm going to lean into there. You know, with the bubble, we've seen a lot of breakthrough stars. Who can we see in the NFL breaking through and having a uniquely successful season in this unprecedented environment?
Ooh, okay, I'm trying to think of like a good... If Dez is Carmelo. That feels unfair to Carmelo. I feel like I should walk that one back.
No, we get what you're saying.
We don't want you to end up like Pablo right now, getting dragged in the internet
streets. No, we got what you're saying.
Who would be like the Devin Booker, right? Or maybe the because
Dame
actually, well, Dame's like Russell Wilson because, you know, the team just like relies so heavily on him at the end to work miracles, and same ownership, by the way. But like a young breakout star, I mean, I mentioned CeeDee Lamb in Dallas. I think he's going to absolutely crush it. And the real I think this isn't a dark horse pick because it's kind of something that everybody's saying, but Kyler Murray is a young quarterback who many people expect to take another leap forward after a tremendous rookie season with the addition of DeAndre Hopkins, because you really saw him and Cliff Kingsbury, his head coach, evolve as last season went on. Just get better at all the little things in the NFL, avoiding sacks and negative plays, throwing the ball away, not forcing it. And I think he's just electric, and he has so much talent, I think, both mentally and physically, that I wouldn't be surprised if he has another breakout season.
Chinay and Golub Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're talking to Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst. And Mina, last one, hardest hitting question here. Do we think that the young rookie, A.J. Dillon, is quietly stealing the crown for best quads in the NFL from Saquon Barkley? Because this kid has got some gams on him.
I want to make another point about that, too, because the thighs are... I don't even know how to describe them. Each one is probably the size of two of my bodies put together, like my torsos. But something I've also noticed with AJ, but also, you know, around the NFL, I noticed Jamal Adams in Seattle. Mike, this is pertinent to your interests. Short shorts are having a moment in the NFL. I've seen guys at training camps across the country just go in shorter and shorter and shorter. And, you know, if you've got the thighs for it, why not?
Mina, I've been saying that for a while now. Thank you for continuing to support a thigh-friendly show here at Chinay and Golub Jr. You can follow her on Twitter, at Mina Kimes. Check her out again. The start next week, August 24th, the new NFL Live crew that she is a part of going to be rolling out. It's going to be great stuff. Mina, thanks. I'm sure we'll be talking to you soon.
Congrats, guys.
Thanks, y'all.
Thigh day is every day when you've got the goods.
Here.
And she's right. I've seen him everywhere. So I feel like we're really a part of the right side of history here on Chiney and Golic Jr. All right, coming up next, we're going to update everyone. The bubble is seeing an absolute beatdown right near now in the Eastern Conference. Plus, a couple of college football stars being the one to show the rest of college football what leadership actually looks like. We'll get to that next at Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiney, I realized something in the last break because I was doing shows that were 4 hours long. We were doing a show last week that was 2 hours long, filling in on First Take, Your Take. Mm-hmm. And I think what we are, it's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agwumike. I think we're like, and I know you said you're not a golfer yet but might want to get into golf. I've always found the perfect number of holes of golf is like 13. My back doesn't get too tight yet. If I'm out there having a few road sodas, I'm not at a point where it starts to become miserable. 13 is like the sweet spot, and I feel like that's where we are right now. We're that perfect like 3 hours on your ride home, feel good, look good, play good kind of scenario.
Do you know what number I am for the Sparks?
Mm.
The number I've been my entire career?
Go ahead with it.
13, lucky 13.
See?
Holla at me.
Look at that. God's timing is perfect around here. And so speaking of timing, we got a lot of things happening at the moment right now. The Jazz and the Nuggets were playing earlier. Denver got a win 132-125. Spider Mitchell, 57 points in a loss. Like someone said, imagine having to call home and tell everybody, yeah, I scored 57 and we didn't win somehow.
Well, the whole thing is like, well, you can't say I didn't try.
Yeah, exactly. I did my part. Where were you guys at?
Where were you at?
The Nets and the Raptors playing right now. The Raptors have been putting it on them in the first half of this game. Celtics Sixers is going to be 6:30 Eastern on ESPN. And then Dallas and the Clippers are playing tonight. Coverage for that begins at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Coverage right here begins right now, I guess, because we're just covering us in here, so it's not all that hard to get there. But one thing we wanted to do around here, Chiney, when we were first getting ready to name the show, and obviously we landed on a great one because our names are cool and we like them.
That works.
But I wanted to call the show One and Done because for anyone that doesn't know, you were a number one overall pick, as was your older sister, NECA, coming out of college basketball in the WNBA, both out of Stanford. I am done. You're a current player. I am done playing high-level athletics at this point in time after my time at Notre Dame. And so I wanted to call us One and Done. I thought that was going to be a real cool look, but we decided to go with this. So we figured, what better way to still find that and work that in somehow than to come up with a segment? One and Done here. We want to hit a couple of the big topics of the day we're super passionate about here. We're going to try and do it in a minute and see. We're probably going to
fail. Oh, I'm not going to do that.
But, you know, we acknowledge that going in. We like to acknowledge our flaws. So without further ado, here is One and Done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and Done.
And One and Done, one dance. One and Done is brought to you by 303 Protectant. 303 Protectants and Cleaners keep your car looking new longer. And so I'll start things off here because we've been looking a lot at the world of college football. And Justin Fields has made waves this past weekend. And good. Good for him and good for the rest of these guys. Every player that's been using their voice in all of this. Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence. Justin started a petition that's got 250,000 signatures trying to get the Big Ten to reverse his decision. What he has done, what Trevor has done, looks like leadership in its highest form because they've looked out for everybody. They don't just want Ohio State to be safe, Clemson to be safe. They want this across the board. Uniform protocol is something that the players have brought up at every turn. And not just these guys. Hunter Reynolds, Michigan defensive back. Ben St. Juice, Minnesota defensive back, who have gone out not only campaigned for this, but have campaigned for the rights of student-athletes across the board in a lot of this from a health and safety standpoint in a way that their peers at the top of these conferences have not. So my advice to everybody who has supported this, good. Keep supporting it and support the rest of these players when they bring up issues like name, image, and likeness, pay for play, the rights of black athletes on these campuses, and everything else. That 250,000 strong signatures, I want you all to carry over that support when Justin Fields and others come back asking for more than just the right to play, because plenty of players have, and we seem to only conveniently be listening to the ones that give us what we want with the least amount of resistance. And that doesn't make them wrong, but that makes everyone involved in this need to check themselves and make sure your reasons for supporting player voices aren't the wrong ones in all this. That's all I got for you, Chiney. That's all I got.
You better preach.
It just it does. It gets a little bit frustrating for me at
times.
This is therapy. It feels like people want to take the path of least resistance. These guys should be applauded for their efforts, and they should be given a voice on the front end of this conversation, not having to bail everyone out on the back end of this. So that is my one and done. Chinee, what have you got for everybody?
And lastly, for all those people supporting and signing that petition, keep that same energy, right?
Do it.
Keep that same energy. My turn. You ready?
Mm.
Today is a huge day in sports. Today is the start of the NBA playoffs. So far, the Nuggets won, even though Donovan Mitchell dropped 57. The NHL, MLS, WNBA, they've all found success to varying degrees in the bubble. But let's rewind for a moment. One of the biggest criticisms of having the bubble and getting the restart has been depriving the public of tests. No sports commissioner, no sports league wants to be in the position of providing top-notch professional athletes daily or bi-weekly tests when the public or surrounding community does not have enough. And now sports are back. And when it comes to the NBA, in their bubble, they've had four straight weeks of zero positive coronavirus tests, despite a lemon pepper situation. But it didn't stop there. On Saturday, it was announced that a saliva test funded by the NBA and MBPA, developed at Yale, story by Zach Lowe, received emergency authorization from the FDA. The cost per sample could be as low as $4 and just $20 for consumers, which is a game changer for the public. Now, in comparison, the leading coronavirus saliva test can cost consumers up to $160. That is a significant decrease and difference. In some cases, that amount of money in a household, $20 versus $160, getting tested or not, that can be the difference between life or death. So to sum it up, Nathan Grubaugh, the assistant professor of epidemiology at Yale, he says switching from nasal to saliva, you lose a little bit of sensitivity. Thankfully so. That nasal test is tough. But what we gain is speed, and that should be 10 times cheaper as well. That is a win-win for both sports and also the national community.
Incredible stuff. You're absolutely right, Chinee. And that was something we remember. We heard about it at the very beginning, and then it sort of went underground. We got lost in all the action actually returning. And so to see that now, those fruits finally bearing on that tree that the NBA was a part of there, excellent stuff, unbelievable to see, and very excited for what that can mean for, like you said, not only the sports community going forward, but certainly the larger country around it. So
yeah,
incredible stuff. One and done there. We're going to bring that energy every single day. We hope everyone will keep up along with it.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Here's Kawhi Leonard. Thought about a shot, gives it up to Morris, gets it back right of the circle. Now shoots it over Kuzma, missed it short, and taken by Waiters. In transition, 2-on-2. Deion feeds Danny Green, open three. Yes! Danny Green with a triple, and the Lakers have extended the lead to 11.
Wow. How quick did that...
My favorite sound, swish. That sound was courtesy of ESPN Radio. Guess what, y'all? It's my favorite time. Time to go to the hardwood. Mm. Welcome back to Chinee and Golic Jr. We are here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Now, here's your NBA update. Nuggets logged a win versus the Jazz, even though Donovan Mitchell snapped and had 57. Just like Golic Jr. snapped his own microphone, he's going to have to hold it for the rest of the show. Raptors up big versus the Nets at half, followed by the Sixers and Celtics and Mavs Clippers matchups all on ESPN. Like I said, it's my favorite time. Time to enter the locker room again. But this time it's the Lakers locker room. Our friend, who is also a sniper out of North Carolina, two-time NBA champion, Danny Green, also the host of the video podcast Inside the Green Room. I was a guest on the podcast. Mm. Maybe you'll get that opportunity soon, Junior. Danny Green, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. It's such an honor.
Oh, we appreciate it. We appreciate it. You just got engaged before going into the bubble, so shout out to Blair. So I guess you put a ring on it before trying to get your ring with the Lakers. How has the transition been for you both?
It's been interesting. You know, obviously when you get engaged, everyone wants to ask when the wedding is right away, but it's like, you know, can we get a chance to breathe for a second? But planning a wedding inside the bubble during a pandemic and quarantine, hectic, but at the same time, you have a lot more time, to actually, you know, get some stuff done. But still, you know, you see what people go through and the stress and frustrations of every detail of making decisions. You know how hard that is for some women.
Absolutely. It's difficult for everybody. Maybe the space in the bubble is a nice breather. And for you guys, Danny, I'm curious, adjusting to life in the bubble, knowing you didn't have a lot to play for as a team that was locked into the one seed for the most part here, trying to get ready for the postseason. What's the adjustment been like in the Lakers locker room as you guys got in here?
I mean, we still wanted to lock in the number one seed. Obviously, there's no real home court advantage here, but playing the seeding, I guess the A seed is probably the advantage at the most part, even though we play in a tough eight seed. But the biggest thing for us was trying to get a rhythm chemistry back. We knew we had been out for 3 or 4 months inside our locker room. We had some tough times, some frustration, just because we just find rhythm offensively. And obviously, you point a finger here and there. Some people coach trying to figure out the best rotations. But we're fully confident in ourselves now. We took us some while to get our rhythm. And we got Rondo back in the bubble now. He's practicing again and working out. So hopefully he'll be joining us soon. And we'll be back to our full strength. But, you know, we use those games mainly just to get some chemistry and some rhythm.
You're right, Danny. Rondo being back is huge because he was a part of that Pelican squad that knows how to play the Blazers in the playoffs. I think they swept them. And so that experience will come in very useful. Now, you mentioned it, your Lakers have the Trailblazers in the first round. How does it feel going up against probably arguably the hottest team, but more so the hottest player in Damian Lillard? What do you see in his game that you guys will have to address?
Well, you know, superstars are hard to stop. You have to try to contain them as best you can. As I said, they're one of the hottest teams in the bubble. Besides Phoenix, you know, they've been playing really well as a group. They got the chemistry. So we have to, you know, match that energy, find our chemistry as well, but play better defense. We got to try to find a way to contain them, stop them a little bit, and also offensively run, try to attack them, make them play defense. But at the end of the day, you know, it's basketball. We know how good they are. We know how good we are. And, you know, a team that executes the best in this, during this time, down, and especially down the stretch, the team that, you know, puts in the effort, gets the 50-50 balls, and, you know, and the team that actually imposes their will is the team that's going to win these games. So, we got to come out with that fire, that energy from the jump.
Danny Green here with us, Lakers guard on Chinne Ngolog Jr. on ESPN Radio. Mike Ngolog Jr., Chinne Igwumike here with you. And Danny, I'm curious, you come over, you win a championship last year led by a bona fide superstar in Kawhi Leonard in Toronto, obviously this year, along with LeBron James and company in Los Angeles. And so I'm curious what it's like trying to work around generational stars like that as you guys gelled in such a short amount of time. You've become such an integral part of this team. What are the similarities and differences you see between those two of the biggest names in the NBA?
You know, it's not hard. It's not easy sometimes, and sometimes it's not hard. They make the game easier for us, but figuring out what is needed for them to make them excel in their spots, where they're comfortable at, and also to make the defense or keep the defense honest and give them space. So my job really is to be a floor spacer, make sure I'm not in their way, but also create mismatches for them and for our team. So that's using myself as a decoy sometimes. Sometimes I'm setting screens and making them, you know, switch and getting a mismatch. But yeah, those guys, they're amazing at what they do. They make the game easier. Obviously, they force double teams, even though teams may not double team them. They're good enough to force double teams. And if you don't double team, they're going to punish you. Even with double teams, they'll punish you. But I think most teams are going to double team those guys. And they become a lot smarter of picking them apart and trusting us behind.
Now, Danny, I have a very, very serious question. Has Taco Tuesday survived in the bubble?
Yes, it has, actually. On Tuesdays, we have done some Taco Tuesdays as a group and as individuals. I mean, the team has made a great effort. NBA, too, is making us comfortable in the bubble. Our team has done an amazing job organization-wise of getting us what we need. That's food-wise, in the rooms, treatment-wise. So they're on top of it and then making sure we're getting our tacos, especially on Tuesday.
Yeah, we consider ourselves Chinne Ngolog Jr. to be the secret sauce of the radio lineup, and we know that Taco Tuesday is the secret sauce of your success throughout the season.
For sure. Hopefully, we're going to need it. Hopefully, it will give us a little secret energy or juice for these next playoff games.
Danny, now more importantly, what side of LeBron are you seeing in the bubble now with so much quality time?
I mean, so it's like we're sharing a space together, so even though we're in a locker room, it's kind of like a dorm room, even though it's a hotel. We see each other every day. We're kind of sharing the same hallways. We're all living together, kind of up and down the hallway. So, I mean, we all knew what kind of size he was of him. We knew what kind of person he was. So he's not much different, but just being around him and seeing how he operates more so off the court and at home, even though it's still like a camp for us. It's not like he's with his family, operating with his kids. But, you know, we've just seen how much of a leader he is, how much he wants to bond and keep guys together and trying to, you know, figure out our chemistry, us to, you know, be on the same page on and off the court.
What bonding have you guys done in the bubble?
We've done some bowling. They've done some Madden games. I'm not a video gamer, but they have their little Madden tournament where they're playing on the sticks. And so we have some bowling events, guys do golfing. They do a lot of different stuff. And they also, you know, every day, eating breakfast or lunch, they have, you know, a couple times the guys on the team will get some food together. So, yeah, we're doing a lot of getting real, you know, well to know each other very well in here because we have nothing, not much else to do.
Danny Green with us here on Chiney and Golic Jr. Danny, it's weird to me. The quality time has been up, certainly, but there's also a lot of close proximity. Having all the teams right now, playoff teams, inside the bubble. Does it feel to you like the smack talk has been at a different level in the course of this? It feels like we've been getting a larger dose of this. Is everyone a little – is proximity made you everyone a little more volatile?
Are we going to hear some trash from you, Danny?
Oh, it looks like we might have lost Danny Green.
Maybe the answer is no.
I was going to say, maybe that was his cue. He was out on the smack
talk. He was like, no,
nope,
I'm going to be a silent assassin, a silent snapper, as you always see. But I love Danny. Danny has been great. I think he's one of those players that are so key on championship teams, knowing their role, but also delivering and being consistent. I know shooting has been a question for the Lakers, but you all know, like, we saw it with Toronto. We see it now. This guy does not shy away from the big shot. So
no, he doesn't. And much like the microphone that, for anyone watching on ESPN News right now, Chiney mentioned it off the top. My microphone just snapped in the middle of the last break.
No,
I don't know
what. You totally pulled it off.
You know what? I'm going to say brute strength, ripped this thing off, snapped this off, much like we unfortunately had to snap off that interview with Lakers guard Danny Green. We really appreciate Danny joining
us
on the show. Obviously, we'll try and check in with him as the playoffs get going. A huge part of all of this, he mentioned Rondo, all the others that are going to be around LeBron James trying to make this happen. Chiney and Golic Jr. is reminding you that the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as Luka and the Mavs battle Kawhi and the Clippers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. All right, the pressure of me on top of this microphone was too much for it to bear. Which NBA star is under a similar amount of pressure? We'll try and figure that out next and get this reattached. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN
Super
Radio.
Glue. Super glue.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Man, the struggle has been real over here, really, since the start of my day. Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Not the struggle with anything with this show. It's been great. Mike Golic Jr., Chiney Agwumike, enjoying our first day as a part of the new ESPN Radio lineup with all you guys. Chiney and Golic Jr. reminding you, don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at Home via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at Home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes for customization and service to financial assistance. Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. But, Chiney, I busted my head in the shower this morning. I've broken my microphone. So I feel like the only place we can go now is up, right? Or at least me. You've been great.
Started from the bottom. Now we're here. We got the mics. Literally, now it's in front of your face. You're holding it. But, hey, at least we still have a mic. So this is a good sign.
That is true. We're still on air. They haven't shut us down yet, which is good because both of us come from backgrounds in college athletics. You're a graduate of Stanford, myself, Notre Dame. You played basketball there. I played football at Notre Dame. And what we've watched this summer, Chiney, is athletes use their voice and speak up in ways never seen. And this weekend was another great chapter in that. Justin Fields, Ohio State's star quarterback, started an online petition to get the Big Ten to reverse their decision to postpone the season. It is now 250,000 signatures strong, and he was incredibly vocal. He joined KJZ this morning on ESPN Radio to talk about what he's seen from the development of athletes using their voices in college sports this year.
I just think we're finally now realizing how big of a voice we have, and I think, you know, COVID and you know, delaying the season or canceling the season, I think that hasn't sit well on a lot of, you know, college football players around the country. So I think this situation is not only making us realize that we have a voice in college football, but it's also bringing us together in terms of, you know, making one voice and coming more powerful together. And that's shown, I guess, over the past few weeks or so across social media. So I think it's a great thing.
And we've seen this from all leagues, Chiney, of what the response is to these awful times that we've been dealing with over the course of the summer. But college athletes don't usually get a voice like this. And whether it was the death of George Floyd, whether it was everything surrounding the virus, we've seen athletes all over the world of college, especially football, speaking up and realizing the power that they have. And in this situation, I unfortunately think it's too little too late. I don't think they're going to be able to sway the decision. But what this support for Justin Fields and some of these big names should show everyone is we need that same support for players' voices to be involved in this full time, to be in on the front end, because they can't save it on the back end of this conversation right now. But I think going in next time around, letting players have some sort of players association-like voice in the process to begin with is going to benefit everyone involved. It might not be as comfortable as it is for some people now who just want these players to say, yeah, we want to go back out and play. Let us sign whatever waiver we want. When they start asking, and a lot have, for other things in there, universal health protocols, name, image, and likeness money, all these things, we need everyone to be as supportive then on the front end of this next process.
I agree. And I think in sports, this is a huge lesson that we know from whether you play like Little League or you play in the NBA, the NFL. One thing that is at the center of sports is trust. You need to trust your teammates. You need to trust your coaches. You need to trust your front office. It takes everyone to win. And I think here we're seeing there's a huge separation, especially in college football or even the state of the NCAA in general, with trust. There is no trust because no voices have really been heard over the entirety of the process. I know I am one of the lucky ones. I was a quote-unquote star at Stanford. I got drafted number one to the WNBA. But I looked to my left and I looked to my right at school. And to me, the hardest email that I've received the last few, you know, weeks was from Stanford cutting a number of sports. And we consider ourselves the home of champions. We win the Director's Cup, which is like the most championships overall that an athletic department can get. We win it almost every year on the women's side, and the men's side is just as successful. Well, not just as, they're trying to catch up with the women.
They're doing well.
They're doing all right. But I think here, like, we have a system where we support one another as athletes, and I think now people are starting to see that translate to real time on real issues. And I think we really have to commend Justin Fields. We really have to commend him because his leadership and his voice, being that one unifying voice, shows leadership. Something that I feel like the other organizations, the conferences, the NCAA in general needs to sort of take a lesson from, because athletes want to be a part of the process. How do I know this? I was part of the process to get the WNBA back. I'm a member of the executive committee of the WNBPA. And I'm telling you right here, the trust we built with the league through our collective bargaining agreement that was just ratified in January was really the only way we could find a way to return to play now. And those conversations that we had, I will tell you, it was day in, day out Zoom meetings. Even right now, I think I have about 100 messages on our WhatsApp group chat where we are constantly talking to the players, getting a pulse. And now we're seeing that type of communication happening at the collegiate level, rightfully so. Now, the reason why the process worked in the pros is because they heard our voice. They had to use our voice in order to find a scenario for us to work and play. Now, in the collegiate level, voices are now just being heard. And the only way they're being heard is through collectivism. Having all the athletes come together, sign. It's 252,000. Within the last 30 minutes, 2,000 more people have signed. And it's basically what you're doing is co-signing Justin Fields' leadership during this time. Now, you're right. It might be too little too late. But if I were in his shoes at Stanford, I would be doing the same thing. I would be galvanizing our athletic department to say, you know what? I want to play, and let's do whatever is possible. Now, I'm in the Pac-12, and I'd respect the medical professionals, but I'd still be working to make sure that the product is out there. And I think this is something that's innate within athletes, and it's about time the public recognizes it.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned the Pac-12 in this. The difference has been transparency and a voice. They came out immediately with a report explaining everything. You see Big Ten parents, Big Ten players and coaches searching for answers. Hell, I think I saw the Penn State athletic director say they weren't even sure when and how the vote happened, who it involved. There's been no transparency or unified voice on the organizational side from the conferences and the NCAA. They need to take a note out of the book of the players who have done so in a very public setting and have earned themselves, as if it wasn't already true, a place at the table they needed long ago. All right, coming up next, which LA team should be more worried about their first matchup, the Lakers or the Clippers? We'll get to that next. It's Chinay Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chinay Ngolick Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.